All of God's people said amen.
Amen.
If you miss me from singing down here, I'll be singing up there. I don't know why he sung that song, but I've been singing that song all week long. Amen. I have. I was looking for something to sing for a colleague of mine and who passed away on last Saturday, and that song was a song that I thought about for her. If you miss me from singing down here, I'll be singing up there. Amen. How's everybody doing? Y'all looking mighty good. Y'all might need to relax a little bit, though. Y'all look a little bit tense. I don't know. Put your hands up, stretch them like that a little bit, and you know, just kind of move them side to side. There you go. Relax a little bit. Now take your deep breath in. Hold it for a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Go ahead and let it out. Amen. Now, if anybody asks you how the service was, you can tell them they had me standing on my feet, waving my hands in the air, and it took my breath away. Hey, amen. Y'all didn't get that. All right. Nothing else don't work. Y'all got that out here. We'd like to welcome those who are visiting with us and say unto you, indeed, you are honored guests. We don't ever take your visit lightly. We certainly appreciate you coming by to hear what thus said the Lord. And as always, we look at you as being a blessing to us, as we certainly pray that we will be a blessing to you. Amen.
Amen.
Ask that you open up your Bibles to the 37th Psalm. Beginning at verse number 22. Y'all there? The Bible says, "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth. And they that be cursed of him shall be cut off." Verse 23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and the delight, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord uphold him with his hand." And our key verse that we want to preach from this morning is verse number 25. "I have been young, and now I am old." If you can say amen, say amen. "Yet have I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is forever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forever. For the Lord loveth just judgment and forsake not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. Y'all got time? God does not forsake the righteous. David said, I have been a young man, and now I am an old man. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the righteous seed begging for bread. If you're in serious trouble, are there three people in your life that you feel you could call on without a doubt to come to your rescue? You can think about that and contemplate that for a minute. Just three people. And of all of your friends and acquaintances, those you like to hang out with, how many of those are among those three people? Are y'all still out there? The School of Religious Studies adopted a method from the muscular dystrophy to raise funds. The muscular dystrophy every year will set up a mock imprisonment or jail and have folk to call their acquaintances. Are y'all still out there? And ask them to make a $100 donation to bail them out. There have been some strange responses when the call has been made to certain people. Some of them immediately ask, what can they do? Others give a long pause on the phone. Are y'all still out there? And the response is not exactly what the person expected until they begin to explain to them that it's for charity and it's for raising funds to help those who are sick and ill and to fight the disease. And then people began to relax a little bit more. They might say, oh man, I'm sorry to hear that, but I can't do anything for you right now. Where others will say, you know, I don't have any money, but let me make some calls and see who I can get to help to get you out of jail. Amen. Some of them start to become a little bit inquisitive and ask, what you have done now? Why are you in jail? And they want to distance themselves from you because they don't want to be associated with somebody who's got locked up. Amen, if you can. Strange responses. How many folk do you believe that are in your life that will respond other than mama and daddy? Somebody needs to say amen. Amen. To help get you out of jail if you were in jail. You know, down in Louisiana, and I'm sure they did it around here too. You know, they'd have fish fries. Amen. Get folk out of jail, get bail money. And all the neighborhood would come together to get the fish fry. But you got to sell something or give something in return for folk to help out because they're not going to just do it for nothing. Are y'all still out there? Everybody likes to belong to some kind of support circle. And this is the group that will help first and ask questions later. They don't always come up front and say, how did you get yourself into trouble? They don't start preaching a sermon to you. Somebody need to help me out this morning. Y'all looking mighty strange out there. No one wants to feel that they are will be abandoned. And I just stopped by to tell you that God said that I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. The military creed goes something like this. I will never accept defeat. I will never quit. And I will never leave a comrade behind. No man or woman will be left behind. Nobody will be left behind because I will always be there to pull them out of it. And we ought to be like that in the church. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Sometimes we're too quick to say, I knew that it was going to be that way. I told you so. Help me out, church. Psalms 27 and verse number 10 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then Jehovah will take me up. God won't leave you behind, even if mama and daddy don't want to have anything to do with you. And you know, there's some parents that don't want to have anything to do with their children. Are y'all still there? It's going to get better. Y'all looking mighty. Y'all looking like y'all still tense. Do I need to make you stand up? Believers have the consolation of knowing that as long as we live, that the Lord will never leave us alone. As long as we live, and even after we die, God will still be with us. The Bible says, absent from the body, but we are present with the Lord. Somebody need to help me this morning. There may be times when circumstances make you feel like the Lone Ranger and you're all out there by yourself, and you should never despair because God is still there. And I know that should be a sobering reprieve to you, because when you're fighting for a cause, God is still on your side. When you're running a home and raising a child and you're just living every day, one day at a time, God is still with you. Sometimes we feel like we're all by ourselves, and sometimes that's because we want to be all by ourselves. But if you feel like thought I'd turn that off. Amen. The voice of the Savior said, may be heard in your ear, the heart. It may not be heard audibly. It threw me off there for a minute. Let me get back to my point. Amen. When you're out there all by yourself, you may feel like you're alone, but God may still be there with you, and you may not be able to hear God, or God will be there with you. You may not hear God in your ear audibly, but in your heart, you ought to know that God is still there. Amen, if you can. You can hear God echoing in the corridors of your heart. I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. If you feel a little down today, cheer up. Because I'm still with you. If you feel like a touch of loneliness has come over you, and you feel like there's nobody but you all by yourself, cheer up, because God is still with you. You may be alone, but as long as the Lord lives, there's no reason to be lonesome. Amen, if you can. You know, you can be in a crowd and still feel lonesome. I could be around folk all day long, and some folk you just don't have a connection with. Say amen if you can. You know, being in a crowd don't make you take away loneliness, because you want to be around folk who understand you. Amen. You want to be around folk who don't just ask you how you doing and really don't care if you're doing well or not. Say amen if you can. This text that our text this morning looks at David trying to explain the relationship of the believer with God. David is trying to help us to understand that we have a relationship as children of God, and because we are children of God, we ought to know that God is with us. The overall intent of this psalm is to reassure believers that by their faith is safe in God's hands. See, if you trust in God, you don't have to worry about it. You can put your faith in somebody, as I said, and you call them, you get yourself in trouble, and you call them and they say, well, you know, I can't really do anything for you right now because I've got to do some other things. I'm watching my favorite TV show. Can you call somebody else? I'll be there. The football game is on, and I really don't want to miss it. I'm watching the Super Bowl. Say amen if you can. And if you can just hold on for another 2 hours, I'll be right there. The greater context of this passage reminds believers that not to envy the unrighteous because of apparent success. Sometimes it looks like folk who are ungodly are doing better than you. Say amen if you can. You look at your neighbor and you say, I get up every Sunday morning and go to church, and they don't go to church. I go to Wednesday night Bible class, and they don't go to Wednesday night Bible class, and look like they got more stuff than I have. Say amen if you can. But the Bible said the righteous will never be abandoned. And in the course of their entire life, God claimed that I will never leave the righteous. David said, I've been old. I've been young, and now I'm old. But I've never seen God's folk big and bread. But who are the righteous, Brother Lodge? I'm glad you asked. In the Old Testament context, the righteous are those who will obey God's commands. In the New Testament context, the righteous are those who have been sinners. Somebody ought to say amen. Who have been sinners, and now they are redeemed. They have been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Old things have been passed away, and now all things have become new. Who are the righteous? But not only that, they are those who are continuing to walk the pathway that God laid out for them, obeying God's command. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are y'all still out there? The righteous are saved and redeemed of the Lord. The seed of the righteous are those offsprings of our children. And just keep in mind that because you are doing wrong, your family will pay the consequences for it. But if you're doing right, your family will reap the benefits of it. I know sometimes we think in the church it's just all about us. My salvation is individual, and I don't have to worry about anybody else. But when you do wrong, the whole family suffers for it. And I'll get more into that in a little bit. Amen. You see, when you get right, then your family began to see what right is like. And I know that it's not easy, because when I started to do what was right, my family said, we remember all the stuff that you did wrong. And when you try to tell them about right, they want to go back and rehearse all the stuff that you did wrong. They don't want you to start doing what's right, because if you start doing what's right, it starts shining a light on their wrong. So as long as they can use you as a good comparison and showing what wrong is, they don't want to see what right is, because now I've got to take a look at myself. And when I look at you and me, it began to look a little bit different. Somebody help me out. So the righteous of the offsprings and are the offsprings and the descendants of you. Generally, the Lord blesses all righteous families. Generally, God will bless all righteous families. And because you start doing right, your family start getting blessed. I know that's a hard concept for us to believe and understand. But you know, if you were the kind of man or woman who drank a lot, say amen if you can. If you were a kind of man or woman who went to the boat all the time and lost all the money, say amen. If you were the kind of woman or man who played the online slot machine all the time, say amen. If you were the kind of man or woman who took your money and just wasted it on frivolous things, and then your family suffered because of that. But when you become righteous, you stop doing some of that stuff. Amen, if you can. And now your family began to benefit. Y'all looking at me mighty strange out there. So when you begin to start doing right, if you're the kind of man who used to beat your wife every day just because, and you become a righteous man and you stop doing that, your family begins to benefit, because now your children don't have to go hide in the closet when you start acting a fool when you come home and you're a mean drunk anymore. Are y'all still out there? David said, I've been young, and now I'm old, and I've never seen the seed of the righteous begging bread. Why? Because the righteous man and the righteous woman does what's right for their family. Anybody got a witness out there? You see, from generation to generation, a righteous family has set up and set down, usually have ups and downs, but usually they stand on the support and the word of God, and because they're trying to do what's right, God's hand is with them. Somebody need to help me. It's not a beggar family, because one that trusts in the Lord and provide for themselves, because they don't have to go out and beg because they squandered the money on drugs and liquor and frivolous things and gambling and such things like that. Somebody else say amen. And if I'm at your house, then you need to let me come on in. Amen. The righteous are being held by and are holding on to God's hand. Because the righteous are in the hands of God, they will never be utterly destroyed are kept down. He said, even though they may trip up and fall and stumble, they will never be utterly cast down to the point where they'll end up in hell. Somebody need to help me. And on the spiritual side, they won't end up in hell, but on the other side, they won't be so cast down that they will never be able to get themselves back up on the physical side. Somebody need to help me this morning.
Either they will climb up on their faith as leverage, or they will God will pick them up by the power of God's will and stand them back up on their feet. Everybody say, never forsaken. Say it again, never forsaken. You know, when we are soldiers, we go on the battlefield. We sing that song, I'm a hard-fighting soldier. Yeah. On the battlefield. I'm just trying to tell everybody about God, and I'm just a hard-fighting soldier. You know, when you're on the battlefield, there was never a promise when I went into the military that I wasn't going to get shot at. Somebody needs to say amen. Now, what they did was they did tell me how to escape and evade in case I got captured. They gave me some instructions on how to get myself out of trouble. And they told me that how to keep my head down. Amen. They showed me how to crawl on my stomach so that I would be able to crawl under the fire. Amen. And they told me how to drop down to the ground when bullets were flying. Somebody needs to say amen. They showed me how to throw hand grenades. And they also taught me that if I throw the hand grenade, don't hold on to it too long. Somebody needs to say amen. Once you pull the pin, you need to get rid of it. Somebody need to say amen. You see, going on the battlefield, God never told you that there was never going to be the possibility of injury. But what God said is, you will never be injured to the point where you will not be able to get back up. Somebody need to help me. And on the battlefield, he said, no man will be left behind. That's the Marines Corps, but it's also all military. No man should be left behind. We don't leave anybody behind because they're wounded. We don't eat our wounded. Somebody ought to say amen. We don't kick them when they're down. We try and help them. Somebody needs to say amen. In the larger context, not only will a spiritual family or your family be, your blood family be blessed, but the spiritual family will also be blessed if folks start doing what's right. Amen. Believers ought to approach each day with the same confidence because of God's promise. Are y'all there? Genesis chapter 28 and verse number 15 says, I am with thee. I will keep thee. He says, I am with thee. Let me take it and take it out of King James. I am with you. I will keep you in all places, wherever you go, and will bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. God told Israel, I'm never going to leave you. I'm going to be with you all the time. Just keep in mind that I am your God and I will never leave you. And I'm not going to go anywhere until I do that which I said I was going to do for you. The Bible tells us over there in the New Testament that God has started a good work in you. And God has not only started a good work in you, but God is able to bring that good work unto completion. God has promised us some things. And when you stand on God's promise, this is the promise that God made rather to Jacob. But he said, but it also speaks to all believers. It is a personal and clear promise. God said, I am with you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, anybody been through something and felt like God's presence wasn't there anymore, but God made a promise to you. God said, I am with you. That's important for every believer to remember, because we step in each day with a new assurance that God is with us. When you get up in the morning, you ought to know God is with you. You know, we step into the morning sometime with nothing but a plan and the promise of God. We plan to do this. You know, sometimes people say you ought to have assurance and know that it's going to happen. Yes, I have plans. I make plans. I make plans to do things all the time. But it is God who will bring my plan to fruition. Because if I step into my plan, I need to know that I have to have God there to help me work it out. Somebody need to help me. Depending on God's promise, some in the days ahead will make changes in their career path and their business plans and in their relationship and family ties, education pursuits, and even their commitment to the church.
Because they have the promise of God. And you need to know that God promised, if God has called you, God will promise you that God will equip you to do what God has called you to do. Amen. Say amen. Amen. You see, God has never called anybody to do something that God didn't prepare him to do. God called Jonah to go down and preach, and he had already prepared Jonah to preach. But the only problem was Jonah didn't want to take the preparation that God had made for him. He called Elijah, and he prepared Elijah to go out and do what God had asked him to do. He called Abraham, and he had prepared Abraham to do what he wanted him to do. He called Moses, and he had prepared Moses to do what he wanted him to do. He called Joshua, and he had prepared Joshua. God will never call you and don't prepare you. That's a promise. Depending on God's promise, you just need to know God said, I am with you. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse number 10, God says this. He said, fear you not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Listen to it again. God said, fear not. I am with you. Don't be alarmed. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be to the point where you can't understand it. For I am your God. Don't be dismayed. Don't let it get you down. Don't be overwhelmed with it. God said, I am with you. I will strengthen you. I'll give you all the strength that you need to do what you need to do. You know, one of my prayers is, as I work with the church, it's always been this. Lord, give me the strength, the courage, and the ability to do what you want me to do. I need the strength to keep on going on. I need the courage to be able to stand up when folk don't want to do what's right, to tell them when they're wrong. I need the ability to do what you ask me to do, God. And I'm not asking you that you change other folk, but I'm just asking you that you change me. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And you ought to have the same prayer. God said, I will uphold you with my right hand of righteousness. That's a big promise. God said, I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to give you all the wherewithal. I'm going to take away all of the fear that you have in you. Don't be dismayed or overwhelmed. And I'm going to uphold you with my hand of righteousness. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You see, God said, I'm going to do it. That's a big promise. But David said, I have been young and now I'm old. And I have never seen God go back on God's promise to righteous folk. I say that again. David said, I've been old. I've been young. And I've been from young to old, but I have never seen God go back on God's promise to righteous folk. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're feeling like you haven't got what God promised to righteous folk, there may be a need for you to do a checkup from the neck up. Somebody ought to say amen. And when you do the checkup from the neck up, you need to go from the neck down to the heart. Somebody ought to say amen. Because it may be a possibility that it just might be. It may be a chance. It may be a slim chance that you're not one of the righteous folk. You see, the righteous family and the righteous person walk by faith. That's the same God that was with Abraham when Abraham went up to take Isaac up to slay him. It's the same God who said, walk by faith and not by sight. It's the same God who asked Abraham to bring his son as a sacrifice. Are y'all still there? And Abraham walked by faith. And the boy asked him, where? I see the knife, I see the fire, I see the wood, I see the altar. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. Somebody need to help me this morning. It's the same God that was with Isaac. It's the same God that was with Jacob. It's the same God that was with Moses. It's the same God that was with Elijah. The same God that was with Jacob. And it was the same God that was with Joshua and Caleb. It's the same God that was with Jesus. It's the same God. When Moses stood before Pharaoh, same God. And he didn't stand alone because he talked to a burning bush. And the burning bush said, I want to send you somewhere and go down and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses began to use the excuses that we use. Lord, I'm not prepared. I don't have the right words to say. And Lord, if I had the right words to say, I don't have the ability to say them right. And God said, take your brother Aaron with you and he'll be your spokesman. But I read that somewhere down the line, Moses threw down that cloak that he needed over with Aaron and let Aaron go on about his business and begin to speak for himself. It's the same God that promised David who said, I was young and now I'm old and I've never seen the Lord folk begging bread. Amen. You know, it's the same God when they came to the Red Sea. Was standing there. Didn't know what they were going to do. Somebody said it was between a rock and a hard place. And Moses says, stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. And the Red Sea began to congeal and open up. It's the same God that Joshua, when he got to the Jordan River, and the Bible says that he told the priest, just step on in the water. And they didn't know how they were going to get crossed. But the Bible says as soon as they stepped their feet into the water, the water began to congeal. And all of the children of Israel came on a cross and went into the promised land. Same God. I don't know about you, but I think that God is still with us today. That's a promise that God said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. But you know, God has said all of that. But God gives us provisions as well to go along with the promise. You see, it's one thing to say, I'll never forsake you, I'll never leave you. And David said, I've never seen the righteous seed of the righteous begging bread. God gives us provisions as well to go along with that promise. He promises us he's going to be with us, but it's all right just to have something with you. You know, I could have an empty glass with me, amen. But it'd be a whole lot better if it had some water in it. Somebody need to help me this morning. See, David said in all of his life, he'd never seen the offspring of the strong, righteous family begging bread. On the surface, that appears to mean that the children of the righteous will never be in need. On the contrary, it means that godly families teach their family members to set biblical ethics. You see, you've got to teach your family to set these biblical ethics. Son, don't beat your wife. Son, you need to provide for your family. You need to get a job, amen, if you can. You need to teach them to work. You need to teach them to save. And you need to teach them to trust and obey God. Spend some, save some, and give some. Are y'all still out there? You know, because if you're just going to waste it all, then, yeah, you're going to be begging bread because you're not going by the principles of God. Now, God had laid it all out for you. See, it's not like a magic formula where when I get in trouble, then I can call on God. When God has been giving you the principles all along to live by, you've got to follow the blueprint. Somebody need to help me this morning. These principles are practiced in godly families and passed on from generation to generation. And to the extent that the family works, to the extent that the family saves, to the extent that the family provides for the future, they won't be out there begging bread. Somebody need to help me. You make wise investment, trust in God for the increase. The family will never be begging for bread. Children who practice these principles don't have a need to beg for bread. Now, I understand that some of you come from family because I came from a poor family myself. Say amen if you can. You know, we didn't have anything. We got commodities. We used to, some of y'all don't even know what commodities are. But I'm old enough. I know what commodities are. I remember, you know, you had to provide your own box. And you had to go down. And we used to go in Louisiana to the sugarcane mill. And, you know, y'all, some of y'all watched Queen Sugar. Well, I actually had to go down to the sugar mill. And we would go over to the sugar mill because that was one of the distribution points where you could pick up the commodities. And you bring your own box. And we'd all load up in the car because we wanted to make sure that we had enough boxes, and we wanted to make sure that we had enough hands, and we wanted to make sure that we had enough feet to get what they were giving out. We didn't want to fall short. Somebody say amen. And we had sense enough to know that the Lord was providing. It may have been state sanctioned, but I believe that the Lord was providing for us. Somebody needs to say amen. Mom and daddy worked, and not only did they work, but we had a garden, and God was giving us sense enough to know that if you take care of some things, you will always have some things. And all of my life, I have never had to go without a meal. I don't know about you, but I've never had to go without a meal, and I trust that God has been providing.
family that lives by these principles will pass it on to each successive generation, a rule of faith that will ensure that if you follow this, the seed will never be begging bread. But if you too lazy to get a job, and if you too proud, amen, amen, if you too proud, because some of us got the, in our mind that some jobs are beneath us. Amen. Great, great, great grandmama and granddaddy were slaves. Certainly they thought that that was beneath them. But they did it anyhow. They called on the Lord and they kept on toiling. They hit them with the whip and they kept on working. They beat them with the whip and they kept on working. And when they got a chance, they would run away every once in a while. Y'all out there? Because they were thinking about the future. And they would take their children and steal them and sell them to somebody else. Amen. And if they could, they found where their children were. And they brought the family back together because they knew that it was better than to be a slave. Somebody need to help me. And if they could, they would try and get their children to be free. They would work hard as slaves so that their children might have the possibility to be free in this world that we live in. And eventually, by and by, God seen fit to let us out of slavery. And now you have the audacity to say that there's something beneath you as a job. Somebody need to help me. If you ought to care for your family, I'm not going to work at McDonald's because I have a 2-3 degree. Well, if you want to eat, you'll work at McDonald's. And if you got pride, you'll work at McDonald's. And if the Lord had provided that, you'll work at McDonald's. Somebody need to help me this morning. I'm trying to help you understand the text because sometimes we get all mystical and when we read the Bible and we try to assign mysticism to it and we try to make it into magic, but it's not magic. It's just some practical thing that God has given us to master. Am I making any sense? I don't know. I don't remember exactly when public schools started giving out free lunch, but I'm told that when it first did, I some of the children didn't want to, and families didn't want that. And they still would try to take their sack lunches and their little lunch boxes because they had pride. And they felt that the Lord was providing. Well, you know, the Lord has more than one way of providing for you. Amen. Amen. And then even in our communities, we don't. You know, my mama used to tell me all the time, boy, don't you be eating at them people's house. You got food at home. Come on home. Amen. And she would forbid me from eating at anybody else's house because she felt like we were not going to take charity from anybody because that's the pride that we had and that's the pride that she had. And she just wanted to let us know that you don't have to beg from anybody else because we have food here. The Lord that has provided for us and you can come home and eat. There's nothing wrong with sitting down sometimes, but you don't always go over to other folk's house as if there's nothing at home for you to eat. Are y'all still there? That's because she was trying to teach us and instill in us that it's your responsibility to take care of your house and God has provided for you here. You don't have to go out and beg for it. And from generation to generation, families that trust God learn to trust God to make a way if they want to, if they work and save and invest and trust and obey. And in times of trouble and despair, those who know the Lord best have a certain assurance and comforted by it. God will never abandon us. David said in Psalms 46 and verse number 7, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We have a stronghold in God. You know, God made a promise. And God has provision for us. But it says something else about God's presence. Y'all got time. I'm coming to an end. I'm trying to get to it. I'm trying to finish this up. I really love these Psalms. I'm really enjoying these Psalms. I don't know about y'all, but I am. Psalms 121 in verse, and it says, he that keepeth Israel neither slumber nor sleep. You know, not only is God with us. You see, it's a difference between
being present and being and having God's presence. You see, because, you know, I could be with Brother Joe. And Brother Joe talking to me, and I'm with him. I'm in the same room with him, but I'm not present with him. You see, I'm not there. I know that he's there, and you know he. But God never sleeps, nor God never slumbers. God does not close God's eyes when I ask God to be with me. God is still there and understands and listens to me and knows my trouble like he knows your trouble. And that's important because you can have folk present with you and they can be in the same room with you and you can be talking to them and they still do not know or understand or hear what you're saying. And that's when folk ask you, how are you doing? And you say, I'm doing okay. Now somebody who's really present, who really with you, and sees and hears the way you say what you say. They not only hear the word that you say, but they see the expression on your face when you say it. I'm okay. And I'm doing all right. And then you walk off all slow and everything. And they notice that and see that. And they are really present with you because they are aware of what's really going on with you. So it's not only that God has made a promise to us and that God is willing to provide for us, but God knows exactly what we need because God is paying attention to who we are. Are y'all still there? Oh, the psalmist said it best over in Psalm 34. Verses 17 through 19, he says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and the ear of the Lord are open to their cry. God listens to you and knows exactly what you need and who you are and does not deliver you a gift that belongs to somebody else. You know, every once in a while, I get the wrong mail. Amen. And I had to write on it, return to sender. That doesn't belong to me. It doesn't matter if it's a check. I still have to write return to sender. Somebody else say amen. And you know you've done it. And you're like, ooh, that looked like a check. and then you have to, your heart dropped because you said, But it's not mine. I sure need that right now. I would need that. I really would like that to be mine. I remember I did. I got a check like that in the mail, and all indications looked like it was mine. And the person worked in the same place that I worked, and the name on it, I didn't even read the name. I just looked at what it was, the investment company and everything, and they sent out a check. And I opened that thing up thinking it was mine, and when I looked at it, I had this, The address was close, but the name wasn't right. And I had to walk down and knock on his door and say, I just want you to know, I opened this by mistake, but I'm so glad that it's yours and not mine. And I'm glad that you got it, and I just wanted to make sure, because I know that it's important to you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? But my heart dropped. I was happy. But it wasn't mine. And I want to just assure you that the Lord will never send you something that belongs to somebody else because the Lord knows who you are. The Lord knows where you are. The Lord knows how to get in touch with you and to send your specific blessing to your specific house, to your specific reason, to you specifically, and nobody else needs to get it. Amen. He ain't going to send your blessing to me, and he's not going to send my blessing to you. Somebody need to help me this morning, because the Lord is present with you and with me. God does not even ever promise that he will not that you will not be wounded. He promised that he will never let you fight the battle alone. That means you don't have to go out and fight. Soldiers on the battlefield, you might get cursed out. Amen. But the Lord is there with you. If you're wounded, he will never leave you out there by yourself. And every believer is in a battle against evil. Every day, Satan attacks our finances. Satan attacks our health. Satan even attacks our peace and our serenity in our home. And Satan is always trying to mess with us. Somebody needs to say amen. But we have the assurance that we don't fight that battle alone. We're fighting a spiritual battle, but we are also fighting a physical battle. Somebody need to help me. And that's why the songwriter said, blessed assurance. And Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his spirit, and washed in his blood. Somebody need to help me this morning. Sustained by that assurance, the old warrior saying, I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. And I promised him that I would serve him till I die. I'm never going to give up because I know that the Lord can bring me from here to eternity. The righteous cried and the Lord heard and delivered us out of trouble. If it appears that God has forsaken us, be of good cheer. The eye of the Lord is still upon you. Let me bring this thing to an end because if I don't, y'all going to go to sleep on me. And I know God made a promise. And God gives us provisions and God is present with us. But it doesn't mean a thing if God does not have any power. What good is a promise without the power to carry it out? What good is a promise and provisions if God can't bring them to you? What good is God's presence if God can't do anything for you or doesn't have the power to help with it? Finally, brothers and sisters, we must remember that in spite of the difficult moments, we make it through even though we go through some things. You know, in two verses preceding, verse 23 and verse 24, the word said, the steps of the good man. Are y'all out there still? I'm coming to an end. Y'all can get ready. Go ahead and sit on the edge of your seat so you can stand up. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and they delight in his way. Though they fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his right hand. In no uncertain terms, that says, I am with you, and I will not forsake you. And if you hadn't got anything else out of this, David said, you are righteous, and God will never leave you. If you're like most believers, there are times when you find yourself slipping down the mountain of life and have to cry out, Lord, hold my hand while I run this race. I don't want to run this race in vain. You know, Lord, hold my hand when I can't see my way. Lord, hold my hand when I can't turn to the right or to the left. Lord, I need you to hold my hand when I'm confused and I don't know which way to go. Lord, hold my hand when I'm weak. Because I can't have the strength to run this race. Lord, hold my hand when I've fallen down and I can't get up back on my feet. Lord, hold my hand because I've cried out. Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Just when I'm about to give up, I hear the voice of the Savior saying, I will never leave you alone because I have never left you alone. There's no cross that you won't be able to bear if you got your hand in the Lord's hand. There's no mountain that you can't climb. There's no enemy that you can't defeat. There's no battle that you cannot win. There's no darkness that you cannot get some light in if you got the Lord on your side. And I don't know about you, but I've seen many things in my life. I've seen man walk on the moon. Somebody ought to say amen. I've seen a jet that used to be able to come from Paris to New York in just 1 hour. Amen. I've seen a whole lot of things in my life, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen Janis Jackson malfunction wardrobe on national TV, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen Dr. Dre come straight out of Compton and become a millionaire, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've seen Michael Jordan glide through the air and make three points from the three-point line, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Michael Jackson do the moonwalk and James Brown the camel walk, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Muhammad Ali knock out George Foreman. I've seen George Foreman knock out millions on a barbecue grill. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Tiger Woods' career go down and climb back up. I've seen Angela Bassett play Tina Turner better than Tina Turner played herself. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Mike Tyson bite Evander Holyfield on the ear. But I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Simone Biles win 4 Olympic medals, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen a woman become the Secretary of State, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen a black man become President of the United States, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Seen Donald Trump become the President of the United States, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. It doesn't mean that we'll always win, but it does mean that we will never be alone. And we've been beaten, but we are never forsaken. We've been oppressed, but we are never forsaken. We've been in prison, but we're never forsaken. We've been rejected, but never forsaken. We've been despised, but never forsaken. We've been hungry, but we've never been forsaken. Poor, but never forsaken. Single, but never forsaken. Sick, but never forsaken. Hated, but never forsaken. Had some hard times, but we've never been forsaken. I remember when Jesus went to the cross, and the Bible says, he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? God, why have you forsaken me? And Jesus got an immediate answer. Just as he said that, the scrolls of earth rolled back and darkness came all over the world. The Bible said that the dead and the graves came out and the world shook and in the temple, that the curtain was torn down from top to bottom. And at the same time that Jesus said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And God said, I'm still here. And in case you don't hear me, I'm going to shake the world and let them know. I'm going to make it dark so everybody will know. I'm going to let the dead folk come out and tell everybody that I'm still with you. You are my son and I will never forsake you. And if you are a child of God, if you're one of the righteous of God, God has not forsaken you either. And David said, I was young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. If you're not as right as you need to be with God, you need to get right today. Because God said, I will never leave my righteous folk. And if you need to get right, you can come right now as we stand and sing the song of invitation. The lesson is yours.
6:44. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word,